remind me of a man.
What man?
Oh, the man with the power.
What power?
Say the power of voodoo.
Voodoo.
Yeah, you do, you do.
And welcome, Holy Commutes, Wednesday, Season 3, here we are, Wednesday, April 8th, good morning, this is Trent Steffes here, the Wednesday host for this edition of Holy Commutes, as always, joined by my co-host, my brother, Austin Steffes.
Good morning, Trent.
Good morning. So here we are, like I said, first Wednesday of the new season, a season I'm really pumped about. We got some really cool content to talk about, and we got Paul Cook on Mondays now. Which awesome. Is just dynamite. His first show was so awesome. I'm really excited for the rest of his shows and everybody's, man. It's been positive reactions so far. So hopefully we can keep that going with
hopefully,
this episode.
Hopefully. You never know.
Yeah. So
tough squad right here.
Yeah. So Wednesday, Holy Commutes. This is a podcast for Wiffle Ball. And it's a daily morning show podcast during our season. So what we do is like once for 1 month out of like every three, we do a podcast every day for like 4 weeks. So we just have these seasons where it's a daily morning show intended for you to listen to on your commute to work. You can follow us on Twitter at Holy Commutes, and remember that's Holy with an E. And you know, for the for right now for this climate, you know, this is basically Holy telecommutes.
Yes.
Holy telecommutes. Yeah, so obviously it'd be weird if we didn't mention it at all. But so the situation that we're all going through, the coronavirus outbreak, you know, it's been tough for a lot of reasons. But specifically for Wiffle Ball, it's really tough for us because we were in the middle of our season, our MNWA season. We had just gotten, we'll get, you know what? I'm going to say that we're going to get into that. But the reason I brought it up is because originally what we like to do on this Wednesday show, if you haven't listened to us before, is we like to get audience engagement. So I'll send out a prompt on Twitter a couple nights before we record the show, and I'll say, and I'll try to get responses that we talk about on the show. It's been awesome. We started it in season two, and it just kind of went from there. It's really fun to do, and I appreciate everybody who does that. This week I tweeted out, "Hey, what's your league doing with the COVID-19 bit?" You know, because
like how they're handling it,
yeah. How they're preparing for it, because I wanted to talk about that. But then I kind of got to thinking, and we're not going to talk about that today because Paul mentioned it on Monday. I know Caleb mentioned it yesterday, and I just, and I know it's going to be brought up in shows later in the week too. And man, this Wednesday show is, it's not really for that. It's not really for super serious discussion, man. This we try to keep it light, try to keep it positive.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we do. And so I decided after I sent out the tweet that we're not going to talk about that. Instead, we're going to talk about our league, MNWA, and how our season went for the first four games of the season, and then we're on suspension right now.
Yeah, kind of just talk about like the good stuff that happened before all.
Yeah, because it was really good, and so I mean, just like I said, if this is your first time with us, that's kind of what we do: is we just keep it light, talk about stuff that we know about, and try to get some audience engagement. Another thing. If you've noticed, if you're a loyal listener to the Wednesday show, every season we have a different theme song, intro song that we come into.
Yes.
Season one was the Bob Newhart Show theme, which is a sitcom that holds a special place in my heart. And, you know, I was in the radio business for a few years, and if I had ever gotten to host my own talk show, that would have been the theme song. And so I thought, hey, this is basically me hosting my own talk show. So that was our season one. Season two switched it up, went to HBO's The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah.
Woke up this morning, which is cool because it's got a really nice bass, and it's just, it's really an epic theme song, and I really like it. But this time we switched it up and went with just, not a TV show theme song, but just a regular song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? And it's funny because,
what was that called again?
Yeah, it's called Man with a Hex.
Oh, okay.
And it's from the legendary movie Scooby-Doo. And I'm talking about like the I can't remember what year it came out, but it was like 2000 or 2001. 2001 is when it came out. And that movie is just that. Both of the movies those two Scooby-Doo movies. Like, you were a kid. 2001, you were 1 year old.
I remember that
movie. Half our audience was probably zero, not born, or 1 year old.
Yeah.
You know? So you grew up with that, and that was when you were a kid, and I was your older brother, which meant that we were watching what you wanted to watch. Yeah. So we were watching Scooby-Doo.
Oh, it was the best movie.
Yeah, still so is. It's called Man with the Hex, and it's during a really fun scene in the movie by the Atomic Fireballs from 1999 off the album Torch This Place. So that's the song you're hearing now, and then later on, we have a new outro song. Again, it's in the same vein of keeping it positive and stuff like that, so we'll talk about that when we get there.
Sweet.
Anyways, one thing I also wanted to bring up was shout out to Derek Linderman, Brennan Dudas, and Sam Skibby. Actually, I don't know if it was Brennan. It was whomever responded on the CCW...
Twitter,
yep. Mm. And they responded to our tweets telling us what they were doing for the coronavirus updates. And I really appreciate them responding to the tweets. And hopefully they listen. And sorry, guys, but, you know, we're just not bringing it up. So, you know, if you guys participate in this next one, that'd be great. And we'll definitely be sure to highlight you if you want.
Perfect, yeah.
Yeah, so MNWA.
Yes, we...
I'm commissioner. You're a manager.
Yes.
You were also MVP of the league last year. Mm-hmm. Two-time champ. And the thing is, MNWA for like 3 years was really, really shitty.
We struggled to find an identity,
basically. Yeah, man. It went from us all being in high school and playing like every weekend in the summer because we had nothing else to do because we were in high school, to us all being in college and doing anything else but wanted to play wiffle ball on the weekends during the summer. And so... I've said this before on this podcast, MNWA from like 2016 through 2019 served the only purpose of the league was to get qualified for NWLA tournament. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Without NWLA tournament, I'm pretty positive that the MNWA wouldn't be around anymore because I'm sure that some, I'll just say it. I probably would have gotten to the point where it wouldn't have been worth it just to run a league without having the tournament to go to look forward to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, back in those days, personalities clashed a lot, so I probably would have just give up.
Mm-hmm.
So NWLA really is responsible for keeping MNWA alive. And mm-hmm. it's great because, you know, despite having really poor regular seasons, we've had some really awesome and competitive and epic final tournaments for our playoffs.
Oh yeah.
And that's something that I really
like. Especially the last few years.
Yeah, the last 2 years especially have been some good tournaments, and there's been some great moments and some like guys that are finally reaching that apex, like they're starting the prime and they're arriving.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have that, but we just wanted to make it so that MNWA was a respectable league. And so what we decided to do was, because basically I would say 90% of players in MNWA also play in HRL. And I mean play full-time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're playing at least once a week,
in HRL.
Sometimes two, in HRL. And you're playing Mondays and Thursdays. And then we were running on the weekends because nobody could get together during the weeks because... My God, you're already devoting two damn weekdays to wiffle ball.
To wiffle ball, and then you got jobs too, you know.
Exactly, and just you want to chill. You don't always want to play wiffle ball, which exactly. is fine.
Yeah.
So, it was really hard to get people committed in participating in that because there was just too much wiffle going around. Summers get busy, and I mean, if you really think about it, in Minnesota, there's a lot of opportunity for extracurricular wiffle ball outside of leagues. We're talking, the group of us that go down to Skibby. MNWA and Wifflin for Wishes. There used to be the big Whiff Shedfield tournament, yeah. Wifflepalooza. Man, it just gets so packed, especially in August.
Yeah,
of tournaments start to build up,
and then when you start adding in all the other tournaments like outside
of
the state.
So listen to those I just said. I just named like five tournaments plus at least two more weekends for MNWA.
Yeah.
Suddenly, you're looking at your calendar, and you're like, my God, there's 12 weekends in a summer, and 11 of them are playing wiffle ball.
You start looking at how many weekends that you have that aren't wiffle ball, and it's just the number is so small because all the weekends, are, you know, you're playing wiffle ball, and you love it so much, but it just, you know, you got to live life sometimes. You know?
Yeah, and I don't want to rip anybody who does that.
No, yeah,
you know, it's
totally,
fine.
Yeah.
Tom Gannon, I'm sure, plays wiffle ball on the weekends in the summer more often than not,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine. It's just not my thing. You know, I have other things. I want to chill. I want to be playing golf.
Like, we have a cabin.
We have a golf course. A lot of Minnesotans have cabins, honestly. Like, everybody...
I like going up there a lot, and I like hanging out with the friends up there. And exactly. Having bonfires.
There's just other things going on. You know, we're all cooped up in Minnesota all winter. We want to be outside really enjoying it and not just, you know, competing the whole time. So
exactly.
So what we decided to do is to try to capitalize on people wanting to play wiffle ball. And so what we did is we moved it to the spring, and we started on Leap Day.
Whose idea was that?
I think it was mine. Or else it was some idea, man. I don't know. That's just the thing with the way MNWA is run.
Exactly, because I think... Because for so long, we've just struggled to find, like, what works. And, like, like you said, these last, like, 3 years, like, it just seemed like we've just been keeping it going for NWLA. And then all of a sudden, like, I think I had mentioned the winter... And I just started to think, like, winter might not work because it's, like, you're trying to find a place.
And you know what? If I can quick interrupt you. Interesting MNWA fact here is we used to run, what do we used to call it? Winter Whiffs.
Winter Whiffs.
It was called Winter Whiffs. Mm-hmm. We ran a tournament in our local sports dome, which was where I worked.
Yeah.
So we got a discount on the turf. And so...
It was essentially just MNWA players and HRL players
getting
together and playing.
You know, even Newman came over unreal.
Yeah.
I think it was like the first or second time I'd ever even met him, so that was awesome. So we used to run that, and there were so many times where we were like, why don't we just do Winter Whiffs as part of the regular season? But then you're thinking, like, man, that we're not going to get everybody back.
Yeah, because
the thought of playing indoors for our season had always been there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just in, like I was alluding to before, the way MNWA is basically controlled right now is there's basically a decision committee where...
Basically everyone who cares.
Basically everybody who cares about how the league is run is on this committee. And it's all the managers plus a few other players. And I really like it because... One of the things about being commissioner is that you can get burnt out really quick. But if you don't have to it's not making every decision, but if you can kind of communicate these decisions with people who care and who are good representatives of the league, it's really nice.
Well, it's nice because I just noticed, like, this year we've been able to, like, bounce ideas back and forth. Like, we have a problem and we, like, you know, just with one of the big problems is, like, figuring out what we're gonna do with the ceiling,
because that was a big one.
And we had gone through it, like, what do other leagues do? We were starting to ask around, and, like, we just kind of
oh my god, I can't believe how much discussion there was.
There was a lot of discussion too, but it was just like this year, it just felt different, and it just felt like it was.
Yeah, everybody seems very content right now. Nobody's really at odds with each other, which I really like, and I know that I contributed to that kind of culture. But, you know, I've since changed. Last year I wasn't commissioner, and I got my mojo back.
Yeah.
And it's good to see. And I'm doing it in moderation. Yeah, mm-hmm. We were four games into this 2020 season per team, and it was the best one we were ever having. You know, everybody's uniformed up. Everybody's got the same roster week to week.
It was the most impressive start I've ever seen us have.
Yeah, plus everybody's season. At the peak. There's not a bad team in the league.
No, it's everyone's playing high level wiffle ball. I mean, maybe not high level. Everyone's playing quality wiffle ball.
Oh right now. Definitely. There haven't been any lob games.
Every team looks good with their uniforms. Like, every team just generally just looks good.
Yeah.
And we've been getting film from every game too. So it's like some reason, like, everything's just clicking this year. And I don't know why, but it just feels like we have everything kind of together. Like you said, you got your mojo back. We just decided to move to the spring, and there was, like, the magic that we needed.
It's just not being pulled in so many different directions in the summer.
Yeah.
Between HRL, MNWA, and your other social life. It's like you're getting pulled in all these different directions. Like you said, out of the 8 games that have been played so far, 6 of them, all of them we got on film, 6 of them we got on YouTube.
Yep.
So what I wanted to do here was just talk about our season, give the people some actual sports news that's not rumors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just kind of as a distraction. So, like I said, 6 of these games on YouTube, you can watch those. They're condensed games, you know, they got the scoreboard. Pretty easy watches, in my opinion. And there's some pretty good games on there.
Absolutely, yeah.
So week one, it was our two teams, the Elites, the defending champions, versus the Meats.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other field, we had the Buxtons and the Clowns, which is a franchise rebirth and managed by former Buxton stars Andrew Johnson and Matt Newell. So there was a lot of intrigue in all these matchups. And let's go through our games first, because these are the ones that aren't on YouTube yet.
Yep.
So game one, just an absolute shellacking.
It was...
The only blowout. It wasn't a lob game. It was just a blowout.
That was... wasn't it like 11-1?
11-1.
Yeah.
So it was John Cronin starting for the Elites and Johnny Meatzell starting for the Minnesota Meats. Yep. And here's the thing. Johnny didn't pitch bad.
He didn't.
I will stand by that opinion.
And if the film comes out...
Yeah, if the film comes out, you're going to see... He wasn't pitching Johnny's bad. Not pitching bad. This wasn't a walk-a-thon. I will tell you. This was... Johnny throws strikes. That's just what he does. He's our teammate in HRL. That's what he does.
Yeah.
He hits the board. The Elites lineup, if you're throwing strikes, they're hitting them. They're not the type to swing and miss when you're in the strike zone. So that's just what it was. You guys were just all over him.
I think it was we scored 11 in the first inning.
Yep.
And yeah.
It wasn't 11 in the first inning. It was... Was it 11 in the first inning?
Yeah, I think it was 11 in the first inning, and then we kind of tamed down because we were just... I don't know.
You're totally right.
Tamed down, but...
Yeah, so... And then basically the only thing worth any note on our side... was a home run that I had off John Cronin. That I hit the deep center. I'm pretty proud of it. John, he's, in my opinion, and I hope Paul's listening to this, because you got to get this guy on the drop 100. It's a little ridiculous.
He isn't on that?
No, there's nobody from Minnesota on the drop 100, which is kind of a travesty. And
what?
They say HRL's not fast pitch, but...
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Here's the thing. I'm going to be an advocate for the Minnesota guys this year, man. John, there's a couple guys that need to be on this watch list, because here's the thing. And I love MLW. We're going to do an MLW show this season.
Yes.
I love them.
We're going to have
to. But there's not 6 MLW guys on this list and 0 Minnesota guys on this list. About 6. So that's all I gotta say about it. And this is what we're doing here. I'm giving press to Minnesota right now. So John Cronin is probably the best fast pitch pitcher in the state. And he's got these scuffed balls.
Yeah.
When he's got the scuffed balls, he's throwing it fast. It's breaking about 2 feet. It's a screwball, and it's hitting the goddamn zone.
You know, it's
I just got lucky, and I went up there because I put so much film together of John. Through these MNWA years.
And
I know he throws strikes. I'm going to swing the goddamn...
He's going to throw the screwball. And that's his patent.
That's just the thing. John's throwing strikes, so I'm going to swing the bat. That's how it works. And so I think that might have been the only hit, and I hit it deep center. Very long center in those hockey rinks. We were playing on a regulation high school hockey rink, so pretty deep ball. And it was pretty far up the net, too.
It was a good shot.
Thank you.
It was a good shot.
Yeah, and so...
But yeah, John, it was... hopefully that game comes out, because, he really put on a clinic there the first game of the season.
He did.
He looked like mid-season right there.
Out of the 9 outs that he that were recorded due to mercy rule, 8 of them were strikeouts.
Yeah, all right.
And as we will learn later on, the Meats can hit.
Mm-hmm.
And we were shut down. So... That's how game one went. And on your guys' offensive side, just an offensive explosion from everybody. 2 home runs right in a row. His first 2 at-bats in the league. Joe Juliet, a.k.a. Fishhook, your leadoff hitter, the league leader in hitter. He's averaging over .500.
Yeah,
he's got a 1.7 on-base plus slugging percentage.
He's got a .583 right now.
Yeah. He's hitting everybody.
Right,
Joe's really good. And so really kind of his breakout, because he had a grand slam and a leadoff home run. So he accounted for... at least 5 runs that first inning. So I think Joe and John were the stars of that game.
Yeah.
And then game 2, way different story, because you were pitching,
mm-hmm.
and you were pitching for the Elites, Sam Plojas pitching for the Meats, and ended up being, 2-0?
Yeah, I think it was 2-0.
2-0 in favor of the Meats. This was a pitching duel.
Yeah, man, we went for this matchup. We had planned it. Yeah. Plan to go for it. We wanted to throw John the first game. And then, because I wanted to see what I could do against Sam.
Yeah.
And Sam's a good man.
Boy, Sam, Sam Plojas, that's the name. You got to remember this name. The dude, he would have hit 80 this year. If we had a gun on him, he would have hit at least 80.
Well, that first game,
he's got six sliders, sick riser. He threw
from 42 against us, so I wish we could. Yep. I want to see him throw at from 45 against us.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, so.
Watching him again in that second week, I know he's.
Yeah,
he's
no, got Sam is down. Just. Sam's on a tear. He's been so good.
He's and, got a. Man, he's pitching outstanding right now.
Yeah, he's got a
one flat right now.
Yep, he's got one flat. He's let in one run.
One run, yep.
It's really good. It's really fun to watch Sam play. He plays amateur baseball right now, and I'm waiting for the day that he decides to retire and joins the HRL Mariners, because with you and him, we are going to be contenders.
Mm-hmm.
This is how good this kid is.
He's kind of been in MNWA for a bit.
Yeah, he has, but this is the first time he's ever really been the guy.
Yeah.
I kind of put all my chips in the Sam Plojas basket.
Yeah. And at the beginning, I mean, everyone knew, like, I think you guys are one of the biggest question marks.
Yeah, we were. We had a lot of rookies.
And it was like, who's going to step up? And Sam has clearly done that. Like, he's...
Yeah, for sure. No,
he stepped up big time.
Yeah, Sam, it was great to see that. And he was the first run scored off you. And the way that went is it was just two chance hits. Man, I think it was like the first two batters of the game got on base and one of them scored.
Oh, yeah, because it was the misgrounder.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was just kind of unfortunate. That's the type of game where it literally could have gone either way.
Yeah. It was a close game, you know. Yep. It was 2-0, but it could have gone either way. But it was
exactly. So we were lucky to escape with a win there. So we split. On the flip side, the Clowns swept the Buxtons. Everybody pitched from 42. These are two of the games from week one that you can see on YouTube.
Yep.
Andrew Johnson had a big bat that game. His stats are...
I think
he
came out of that at, like, hitting .833.
Yeah, and here's the thing about that. If you watch the video, there's more than a couple fielder's choices that weren't accounted for.
Yeah.
Which would have been against that average.
What kind of league are we running here, man?
Yeah. So, but, you know, it's 800. but he didn't show up for week two. But, so Andrew had a great... Obviously great had a great start at the plate. Matt Newell had a really good start on the mound.
It's so crazy how many hot starts we're seeing, like, on the mound and at the plate. Just you wouldn't think that starting in spring that we'd have this many people going off right now. But
yeah,
man, it doesn't look like people have missed a beat since August or September.
Yeah, like, that was the thing I wanted to say about that, is that first game we played against you, it was like you guys it was like the last final tournament was the weekend before that.
Yeah, it was.
That's how in regular season form you guys were.
Everything was just clicking.
Yeah, so on the flip side, we had the sweep for the Clowns, which was big because the Buxtons were another kind of question mark team. A couple of unproven guys that were on that team. And, I don't know, they were the victim of some unfortunate plays in the field because of the turf, because the ball really runs on this turf that we're playing on. And so it was some of that. And I think that they're going to settle down in the field.
Mm-hmm.
After watching that video, I was a little surprised that the Buxtons were 0-2, honestly. I think they could have squeaked a game out against the Clowns. The very next week, week two, we were on opposite fields, so we can both give good insight here.
Yeah.
It was Meats versus Clowns and Elites versus Buxtons. Both these games on YouTube. I'll start first. Obviously, I would start first.
Yeah, I was. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. No, so game one, it was... Z-Dog from the HRL Yankees, Zach Kinesh versus Sam Plojas. And Sam put on a clinic. We had kind of an offensive explosion after last week. We put up four or five runs on him, and most of them were from home runs. Two of them by Sam, and Sam, again, just dominated on the mound. He let in a couple runs, because he kind of struggles with keeping up the speed. And so he has to go off speed. And the Clowns are a really good hitting team. We were lucky Andrew wasn't there. If Andrew Johnson was there, we would have had a much different series.
Yeah.
I really think so, especially in game two. So we ended up winning that game 5-1, 5-2, something like that.
Sam comes out of there now hitting .462.
Yep.
Killing it. Second in the league.
Yeah, so we have that. Game two, way different. It was Matt Newell, who was just so good against us. He just had all of us swinging.
From 42, right?
He's still pitching from 42, okay. So we're using skinny bats, and there's a speed limit, which is good. He's just got a bunch of different arm angles, man. It's tough to know what's coming, where it's going to break, how hard it's going to break.
Newell's got a lot of movement.
Yeah, so he's doing good, and this ended up being a tie, actually.
Oh, yeah,
because
they cannot
hit Key from the meets. Aaron Keeney, his pitching debut in MNWA, it's very slow, but he's very evasive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very fun game to watch. I'm serious. If you want to watch a good slow pitching performance, watch Aaron Keeney in our Game 2 matchup against the Clowns, the meets, that is. And I don't know, just see that. So we went to extra innings, and by that time that we finished that extra frame, it was time to close up shop, and so we had to do a home run. In the HRL, it's called the jack-off. In MNWA, it's called a dong-off. So what it is, basically just mini home run derby, at least three batters, just like the NHL's hockey rule. NHL's shootout rule, obviously. And so we went with nobody hitting a home run through four people. So we went through the first three with nothing, so we had to go. And then they only had four, so then the order restarted. I was pretty close. Z-Dog was pretty close to getting one. Sam was pretty close. And then it came around again, and Sam went up there and got us the win.
Yeah.
And so here's the reason why I think Sam Plohaz is the MVP of MNWA right now. And MNWA should be taken seriously. This is a high level of wiffle ball. We're a small league. We only have four teams. But, man, all you have to do is watch the videos to know that what we do is good wiffle ball. We're playing really good team wiffle ball here. And Sam is the MVP because he held you guys, like I said, probably the best offense in the league is the Elites. Held you scoreless week one after an 11-run game when you guys should have just crushed him, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, he's pitching good that game.
He was pitching good. The second game was he led in runs, but it was a much more dominant performance in my mind. I was never really scared that game. And so if you look at the pitching stats, he's right there. He's right there at the top of all these categories. The strikeouts are really close between everybody. John Cronin, I think John and Matt Newell are tied for strikeouts. Then it's like the next three are all within.
It's John and Sam are tied with 17, and then okay. Me, Matt, and Casey are all close behind.
Yes, that's what it was. So we have that, but then, like you said, he's second in the league in hitting. He's got a home run. He's got the extra innings home run. A new thing that we started this year in MNWA is we call it the Dub Club, where we go out of our way to recognize the guys who get the game-winning RBIs during their games.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody in the Dub Club only has one. So there's been eight games. There's five people with one. And there's only one person with more than one, and it's Sam Plohaz with three.
Mm-hmm. So he's standing up
the three own. Wins. This is the first place team. We're 3-1. First place. This is the first winning record team I've had in MNWA, like literally, I think maybe ever. This is the first time my team's been first in MNWA, I think ever. And Sam, and it's because of Sam. So if you want to go from the MVP argument, the best player on the best team, there's no denying that it's either you, Sam, or John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's pretty.
And
that's
it really sucks because of this whole situation because. Honestly, this is almost kind of an announcement of it. If this goes on like this and we miss our May 2nd final tournament, which it looks like we probably will, my team's gone. Our three best players, Keeney, who has a 0 ERA, Wilkie, who has a home run, and Sam, who's the MVP of the league, they're all going to play baseball. So then now it's up to me with the two Foss boys.
Well, you're going to need to get up.
And another player.
Yeah, you're going to need to get someone else.
So, there's good players in Minnesota that aren't playing right now, but, yeah, that's where we're at
mm-hmm.
for the meets. So, through 2 weeks, meets are looking really good.
Yep.
So, flip side of that, we had a couple really good games between the Bucksons and Elites. This has been the championship game matchup the last 2 years in MNWA, the Bucksons versus the Elites.
Yeah, and
always guaranteed to be a good game no matter what, and yeah. We had two more.
Yeah, whenever we play... It seems like those last 2 years, It was a really good game. You know, really good games against the Buxtons.
Mm-hmm.
And that just proved to be the same again this year. Man, it started off with the first game. I know on YouTube it says, like, game one it was me pitching, but we actually started... Because I messed up the score sheets.
Yep.
So, the first
game... very clearly defined score sheets.
Yeah. So we had John going against the first game, and I'm pretty sure it was against Bliss.
Oh, that would be against Casey Stasherbach. No,
it was against Casey, yeah. So it was John against Casey Erbach, and John was more or less just the same. Like, he was just hucking his screwballs, everything. We were kind of slow to it because Casey threw from 45 and he was throwing fast. So it was
Casey was really surprising. I didn't know Casey could throw that fast, and I didn't know he could be that accurate and have that much movement. Casey's a big threat from 45.
And I think he was just more comfortable because he has those, because we're using the HRL balls.
Yeah.
So I think it was just because he has that comfort. Yes. With the, you know, HRL scuff balls. So. Mm. You know, when you're throwing from 45, like, you can just huck it in there. And John pitched a great game. You know, John was throwing amazing, like you see, but...
So what went wrong then? Because you guys lost game one.
Well, yeah, what it come down to it was, you know, they had Peter Monsrud, so that was a big addition, you know.
Peter led the NWLA tournament in hitting for 2 years in a row.
Yep, so, I mean, having him back, you know, I really haven't been able to face him, like, in a few years, actually. Like,
yeah, and he's never faced you when you were good.
So it was just kind of different now, like, being able to face him. So, you know, he proved to kind of be the difference, I think, kind of from this last year's Buxtons to this year's Buxtons. You know,
even from week one to week two.
No, absolutely.
Because week one, that lineup didn't look good.
They weren't producing so much, but then against John, you know, Peter was, you know, he was there almost every time, and what happened was... I don't know exactly what had gone down, but someone got on, and Peter had hit that one in the center, and it knocked off the wall. I had made the
right, the dented ball.
It was
the
a dented ball off center. I fielded it off, and Ben was rounding second, and he was going third, and he was going to go home. The run that would have won, you know, been the scoring run,
mm-hmm.
And I threw it to Evan, and Evan tagged him out. Or Evan threw him out from at third, so it was a really good play. Like, if you are able to watch the video, it's...
Check it out on Twitter, at Mini Whiffs. We have had a multitude of great plays this year.
It's crazy. The fielding plays this year have been really good. Yeah, but, I mean, being a part of that, I would just picked it up, threw to Evan, got it there, and we saved the run. And then, of course, the next play, I forgot what happened, but it was, like, a knock to Tommy, and... He went kind of just through his legs, and they ended up scoring the run that won the game. So
yeah, and that was a rookie.
He's his first year rookie. You know,
first year, really hard, really fast turf.
It's, you know, it was understandable. No one was mad. Like,
nope.
It was a really good game. So that's how the first game went. We lost that one. John pitched a great game. Casey pitched a great game. And then second game, I had faced off against Bliss, and I was throwing it pretty well. I threw for three innings pretty well. I didn't let in any runs. And then we ended up putting in Evans for the last inning to close, because we had an easier time this game finding Bliss, because he was just throwing it a little bit slower. He had some control issues. So we were able to hop on it. Kind of everyone was just able to put bat to ball, and we're getting a lot of runs there.
Yeah, you pitched really well. That was, I think, one of the games I was considering putting the full footage on YouTube, just because it's a really nicely pitched game by yourself and subsequently Evan. Yeah, that's just... So you guys are sitting at 500 at 2-2. 500, 2-2,
yeah.
Yeah, so
we're looking good. It's, you know, it's...
You've had two basically roll-of-the-dice games.
Yeah, it's, in my eyes, we could easily be 4-0 right now. The 100%. Two losses we had were one-run or two-run game. But, you know, it's just sometimes the way it goes. It's the way she is, but...
That's how good teams play, man. It's one play. And exactly. Sometimes you're going to have the play, sometimes you're not going to have the play.
And that's the way this league is now. I mean, on paper, I mean, and like everyone was saying, like, we were kind of like the number one projected team. But, I mean, all the other teams are showing that they got a lot of fight in them. I mean, you guys were one of the lower teams coming into it, and now you're number one in the standings, so...
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
When you start playing, like, it's not like we're playing bad wiffle ball. We're playing good, and everyone else is just playing good, too, so...
Yeah, it's really fun to see, and I really hope that we can have more regular season games once this all sorts itself out. Well, yeah. Not sorts itself out. I'm just trying to be vague, you know. you know, once this is all over and we're back to normal, I hope that we can keep this MNWA going, because I have a feeling it's going to be a great final tournament.
Yeah, because we'll
and it's our 10th season, man. It's our 10th season.
This is looking to be one of our best, as competitive-wise.
Probably the best.
Media-wise, like, everything's just there this season. And, you know, it just sucks with everything, but...
Yeah, it's our great season, and man, it could be just so much better if we were
regardless,
able to get...
Regardless, though, I'm pretty sure we're going to get a final tournament regardless.
Yeah, if we were able to get Zach Busman and those other guys involved in this league this year, it would have been awesome, and I really hope we can get them involved in years going forward. It just didn't work out with the time frame, but maybe it will work out, actually.
No.
Wow, maybe I should give Bus a call.
Yep.
Oh, I just kind of had an on-air revelation there. Anyway, so thank you for listening to us here. This has been the Wednesday Holy Commutes. You can find us on Twitter at Holy Commutes. I've been Trent Steffes. MNWA, Skibby, HRL, NWLA Tournament. Same for all of you there, yep. Austin. Thanks so much for joining me.
No problem, man.
Next week, let's talk about next week, actually, right before we take off here.
Mm-hmm. What's going on next week?
Next week, we are going to be doing kind of the budget game. So have you seen on Twitter they do these things where it's like you have $15 to build your dream NBA lineup, and you have the players in the rows with the tiers and stuff. Yeah. And we are going to do that.
With
wiffle ball players.
Ooh.
And here's the thing.
But what kind?
I made the decision here. We were going to do just NWLA tournament, but there were just guys that I wanted to include in this that have never played an NWLA tournament. So we're going to be doing this as I see it. So this is just how I see it, as like the biggest, like the best names in wiffle, the best guys in wiffle. I'm going to be using Paul Cook's drop 100, because he knows all about East Coast. I know all about Midwest. So I'm just going to kind of borrow from him and take my own bias. And it's not going to be exactly fast pitch pitchers. We're going to have the slow pitch leagues, the medium pitch leagues, fast pitch leagues. So it's just going to be wiffle ball players that I know of. What do you think?
I like that idea, and I think that's something you could put on Twitter too.
Look out for that tweet. Once we get the prices set, you're going to be able to submit your own lineup.
What do they usually do for that? Is like $5, $3, and $1?
Yeah, so I have like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
okay,
$12. Yeah. So you could have two $5 players if you want, but you have to get another $2 player. You know what I mean?
Are you just filling out pitcher and two fielders?
No, you're just taking players.
Oh, just
no designated
just build
positions.
Team.
You're just build a team.
Okay.
Yeah. So that'll
this
be fun. Look
be
out
fun.
For that. We'll talk about lineups on here. We'll give our own lineups and everything. I think that's going to be really fun. So look out for that.
Perfect.
The new closing song is called "We Must Be in Love," and it's a song that was sampled by an artist that you and I both used to love a lot, B.O.B., on one of his mixtapes called Five on the Kush. That was the name of the song, and I had no idea that it was a sample until we watched the Adam Sandler movie Murder Mystery.
Yeah, Murder Mystery, yeah.
And with Jennifer Aniston. God, she's so good in that. I really like that movie. It's not a great movie by any means, but I really like it. And at the end, they play the song "We Must Be in Love," and it's by The Impressions from 1970. It is like textbook Motown R&B and soul. So enjoy this. Have a great day. Carl Coffey's going to be with you tomorrow. Sam Skibby's our guest host on Friday.
Ooh.
Yep, we got some great guest hosts. Actually, reach out on Holy Commutes. DM us at Holy Commutes on Twitter if you want to guest host a Friday show. We're taking applicants right now. Thanks so much for joining.
Have a great day, everyone.
Sip.
Sip.
Be in love. I miss your tender kiss. Your tender kiss is what I miss. I have a strange desire for your lips of fire. We must be in love. Oh, tell me now, do you love me too? Be in love. We must be in love. Your tender kiss is what I miss. I have a strange desire. For your lips are fire. We must be in love. Be in love.